An early 20th century taxi pulls up on a grand city street, and a soberly dressed, matronly woman and young girl, Sylvia, climb out. The woman takes Sylvia's hand, then they gaze up at a large townhouse.
999 indeed. I heard a such a number for a house.
A maid answers the door.
Yes.
Forgive my boldness, sir, but wooden leg or no wooden leg, you are this child's last surviving relative. Her father named you as guardian in his will.
Yeah, I don't dispute that. I merely point out that this house is a shrine to paleontology. There's no corner in it for a small girl or her nurse.
We require two rooms, that is all. Some of these stones could go to a museum.
My fossils? In a public museum?
This has got nothing to do with fossils. If you don't want the child, you should say it straight out.
But she'd be miserable here.
My parents are dead. I'd be miserable anywhere.
Smilodon popularis. Why don't you just stick a knife in my heart?
They're all magnets for dust, and that big cat was plain unpleasant.
It's a saber-toothed tiger, Nana.
Sylvia opens a Christmas present of an animal skeleton.
Armadillo skeleton!
Later, her guardian is driven off in a car.
Bye!
Sylvia spins a globe round and round. Sepia photographic postcards land on the mat, showing her guardian's travels and adventures. Camel, then a ship. Time passes and more postcards and letters are delivered, and Sylvia, now a young woman, positions them on a mantelpiece and smiles.
I keep a pack of women in this house. There isn't one of them about anywhere when they're wanted.
Oh, darling, gone! We weren't expecting you.
Oh, ship sank. Iceberg.
If you don't mind asking, sir, what have you got in the bag?
Ah, a surprise.
Let's hope it's not another fossil.
The world is full of enchantments, woman. Not all of them are made of stone.
Sylvia opens the bag.
Baby.
Found it. Floating on a lifebelt. Both parents drowned. Awful bloody shame.
A baby? Appearing just like that, what will people say? Have you no regard for your great-niece's reputation?
Well, I'll put a notice in the Times. Professor Matthew Brown adopts entirely unrelated child.
But come on.
I thought women liked babies.
They like babies that are in good order. Babies with names.
Oh, well, I thought perhaps Pauline.
And surnames?
Fossil.
And it's not as though we'd got an empty room to put her in.
You don't mind, do you?
Come, I came here with nothing once.
That's the spirit.
Where are you actually going?
Siberia. I'll bring you back a souvenir.
Sylvia waves Gum off, cradling the baby Pauline in her arms. 1919 gives way to 1920, then 1921, and Gum returns with another baby.
No, not another one.
Red Cross Hospital outside Vladivostok. Mother died when it was born.
What about the father?
Salt mines. Worked to death. Awful bloody end. Yet they called it Petrova. Needs feeding up a bit.
It's to be hoped this one has brains. It's easy to see he's going to be Miss Plain in my nursery.
Nana carries Petrova off. The globe spins and the years fly by until it's 1924.
Dearest niece, another small fossil from your great-uncle Matthew. Daughter of a dancer. Mother has no money and no time for her offspring. She sends a pair of ballet shoes enclosed.
He says, I regret not delivering the child myself, but I ran into a friend about to leave for the Galapagos. There's enough money in the bank to last you for 5 years. P.S. Child's name, Posy. Unfortunate, but true.
Ballet shoes, indeed. Change of clothes would be more useful. Or a feeding bottle.
To the little fossils. Turquoise for Pauline. Pearls for Petrova. Coral for Posy.
Make the most of it. It'll be the last we hear from him for quite some time.
Ballet shoes.
Babette Gum had a car. Only a man with a car would have bought a house at the far end of the longest road in London.
Garney said he used to come and go in taxis.
Wish we could. I'd be happy if they let us get the bus.
The professor may have had his faults, Petrova. Might I remind you he had but the single leg. You three have got a full pair each, so you can save the penny and walk and be thankful. The Rockefeller family, we are not.
At least you get to go to school. I still have to do lessons with Garni and take an extra walk at lunchtime every day. If I have to look at the dolls' houses in the museum one more time, I shall be sick.
That's enough, Miss Madam.
All over my outdoor shoes. Then I shall be able to go anywhere.
Sylvia's poring over accounts.
We've had more fuss from Miss Posey about her education. Cromwell House is out of the question, isn't it?
It's not just that I can't send Posey to Cromwell House. I'm having to take the other two away. I have to give notice to Clara. There's no money left. Nothing in the bank at all. I'm so sorry.
Why are you apologising? Not news.
Isn't it?
Been looking through situations vacant in the papers.
I didn't think you'd notice.
I brought you up. Notice everything.
The trouble is, Nana, unless somebody advertises for a paleontologist assistant, I'm not qualified for anything.
There's a way around everything if you stop and think.
As Nana watches some of Gum's artifacts being cleared from the house with a satisfied smile, Sylvia puts a sign in the door. Highly superior rooms to let. Inquire within. Homeschooling.
I finished my fractions.
Already? They were the hardest in the book.
She left her sit there quietly with her magazine. You can't be setting any more sums. You've got to go to Selfridges and get those eiderdowns.
Petrova, darling, would you go? You're only reading.
A handsome man is on the doorstep.
Good afternoon.
I like your car. How are you finding the acceleration?
Terrific. 0-40 in about 3 minutes. Is your mother at home?
Oh, we haven't got a mother. It's all right, you don't have to say you're sorry.
How do you do? I've just come about the room.
Oh, do come in. Forgive me, I was trying to clean a fireplace.
I don't know how long I'd stay. I've only just got back from Kuala Lumpur.
Well, there's no minimum agreement.
This is nice.
He runs a hand along the mantelpiece.
Put photographs on here.
Sylvia answers the door to two women.
Good afternoon. Have you come about the rooms?
With particular regard to shells and smoking. I'm Dr. Smith. This is Dr. Jakes.
Do come in.
Smart. Very nice aesthetic.
Come in.
Nana said you might need this.
Oh, how kind. Thank you, my dear. Well, we both had lengthy careers in academia. It all adds up to quite a lot of books.
Most of them hers.
I specialised in Shakespeare. Dr. Smith is a mathematician.
Where do you go to school, child?
We don't. Garni, our guardian, teaches us from home.
Good God, that must be dull.
Although it is quite an adventure, having relatives by accident. Such a unique name.
Fossil. I suppose it is.
I always thought Smith was such a beast of a moniker. Try doing anything remarkable with that.
And heredity is such a burden. I mean, if I made the name Jakes worthwhile, people would think it was because of my grandfather. Who knows what you three might achieve?
You ought to try to do something for your country. Fossil looks splendid in the history books.
What do you think she meant by history books?
I'm not sure. I suppose they meant giving some sort of service to our country.
We ought to make a vow.
Petrova stands.
A vow?
To our country.
A promise. To ourselves. Like this. Put your hands on mine. We three fossils vow to put our name in the history books. Because it is uniquely ours, and ours alone, and no one can say it's because of our grandfathers. We vow.
We vow. We vow. Posey!
Ow!
You didn't. What's that?
A glamorous woman is dancing downstairs.
I shall be out every day from 8 till 7:30.
I bathe 3 times a week and I never eat breakfast.
The girls arrive.
Oh, sprung floor. Was this a ballroom?
Not while I've been living here.
As the woman in the green dress sashes, Posy joins in.
Do you like to dance too, dear?
She spins Posy round. She tangles with Pauline, then flings her back over her arm.
Here, little boy. Come on, it's going to be fine.
She pulls a shawl round and round. Sylvia watches the girls dancing and having fun with an indulgent smile.
Oh, please, just let them audition. I've been on the staff of the Academy for years and I cannot recommend the place enough.
I can't afford the fees, Miss Dane.
Madame Fidoli is a refugee from Russia. The revolution completely did for her. She'd been such a favourite of the Tsar. She has a history of taking on girls from impoverished homes. She trains them for nothing and then takes 10% of their earnings when they work.
They'd be sent out to work?
As soon as they're old enough to have a licence.
But I don't want the children going on the stage. And I'm quite sure that Nana doesn't either.
Whilst I don't care for Miss Dane casting aspersions on this home, you might say that Posy's bound to dance anyway, given that she came with her own little ballet slippers. Pauline does nothing but look in mirrors and recite, and as for Petrova, all she thinks about is aeroplanes and engine parts. I'm trying to turn into a lady for the past 10 years and got nowhere. So if this Madame Folderole
Fidelia
proves willing to try, I would let her.
Miss Brown, we request a consultation.
Now,
The fact of the matter is, my dear, we very much doubt whether you're qualified to teach those children.
But I'm very well grounded in natural science, and I've got my school certificate. I did consider the school at the top of the road, but...
You can't send them there. They'll get lice.
In my opinion, entirely.
Frightful accents.
Which wouldn't help their chances in the theatre at all.
My dear, life can be a surprising affair. As Dr. Smith and I found out, we both felt that we should retire, but find that we are unsuited to a life of idleness, and more to the point, we miss our teaching. We should very much like to coach the girls.
All-round education, specialising in mathematics and literature. The children will be prepared to take their school certificate and matriculation. No charge, ours to suit. What do you think?
I don't know what to think.
Do you want your charges educated?
And you want them trained to earn a living?
Sylvia looks to Nana, who nods.
I want both. The world isn't kind to girls who can't support themselves.
Careful!
Come on!
Their legs in the street.
Sylvie and Nana lead the girls into the Children's Academy of Dance and Stage Training.
Do they look smart, Nana?
No, but they look neat. Petrova, will you at least try and smile? I swear the face on that child will stop a clock.
Shuffle, shuffle, hop, step, tap.
There it is.
They stop outside a door.
Should we knock, do you suppose?
They enter an elegant room with polished wooden floors.
So gloomy.
Ah. The Forsyth sisters.
How do you do? I'm Pauline.
No. All my pupils, morning and night, before or after class, whenever we meet, they say, Madame, and curtsy. So.
Madame.
Which is Petrova?
Petrova steps forward, a little embarrassed.
Me.
You are Russian.
Yes.
You speak Russian?
Petrova shakes her head.
But you feel Russian.
Actually, she's always said she couldn't feel more British.
You are the first compatriot of mine to come to my academy. I will make wonderful artist of you. You must be posing.
Madame.
Miss Dane is taking a dance class.
5, 6, 7, 8!
As the girls in matching blue rompers tap their way through the routine, Miss Dane joins in. The formidable Madame leads the Fossil girls, Sylvia and Nana, into the studio.
Moment.
Madame.
The pupils curtsy. Then Madame glares at the Fossil girls, who do the same.
To center, if you please. I think... polka, Mrs. Davis.
The girls all spring into a well-practiced pose with their hands on their hips.
Stockinette vests, both, 2 each. Royal blue cotton rompers, 2 each. White tarlatan ballet dresses, 2 each. White knickers, all frills, 2 each. 2 black sateen elocution overalls per child. How are we going to make it all by Monday?
I don't care if we have to sew all night. This is the biggest chance these girls have ever had.
All the ladies of the house are lending a hand with the girls' dresses.
There's no point making me into a wonderful artiste. I already know what I really want to be.
Racing driver.
I want to fly planes like Amy Johnson.
Very laudable ambition.
It's not because she's fashionable and in all the magazines. It's not even because I love engines. It's the idea that there are roads in the sky. Ways around the world that no one has discovered.
Roads in the sky.
And until I can do that, I'd like to work with cars.
Well, that's good. So I've just bought a garage.
A garage?
It's going to be tough going for the first few months. I need some help from time to time.
Petrova squeezes her soapy sponge on the car.
All right.
Mr. Simpson does the same, then splashes her. Sylvia is sewing when Miss Dane shimmies in with 2 cocktail glasses.
You said you were going to make a drink. I thought you meant a cup of cocoa.
Oh, be a sport. Look, I've even got a jar of maraschino cherries. I absolutely promise not to get you tight. This is the way they used to mix them at the Ritz when I was in Miss Rosebud's Bouncing Babes.
Drank cocktails when you were a bouncing babe.
Oh, I was practically 19. Miss Rosebud had to bind my bosoms flat, otherwise they bounced rather more than was approval.
She hands Sylvia a glass.
Chin-chin.
The girls will be happy, won't they?
Oh, my darling, you don't even need to ask.
And Nana puts 3 pairs of white frilly knickers into identical suitcases, then closes the lids. At school, Pauline and Posy happily get changed, while Petrova looks a little reluctant. Now, Madame is overseeing a class. Wearing pale pink ballet dresses, the girls perform a series of steps and positions, bouncing on their toes and gracefully arching their arms. Pauline and Petrova share a smile, but Posy's taking it all very seriously. Madame's watching her closely. Later, all 3 girls flop into bed exhausted. Sylvia's polishing the girls' shoes by candlelight when Mr. Simpson comes into the kitchen. When he turns to her, she...
Need a hand?
Well, you are kind, but they won't take long.
He sits down beside her and picks up a shoe.
No. And I was at school. Shoe cleaning was a punishment. Matron would say, clean them till they shine like mirrors. Give you time to reflect on your misdeeds. There was a fire in that room. I always quite enjoyed it.
Well, Mr. Simpson, you are a gentleman. Just leave that to me. It's a bit of a knack with tap shoes.
I'll let you get on then.
Thank you.
Do you know, sometimes I think heaven sent those lodgers to this house.
Not a moment too soon, if you ask me. You need to get that wiring mended. And you're looking very thin.
I've always been thin.
And you're going grey.
I am not. I've just got the odd silver hair.
I'm starting to rehearse my mordition in a week.
What is a mordition anyway?
It's what you have to show managers. It means my audition, but over the years it's run into one out of habit.
Typical academy. Always got to be a special word for everything.
Anyone who goes up for any audition anywhere has to sing, dance, and recite. Doesn't matter which school you train at, it's what you have to do.
I'm dreading my next birthday.
I'll have to get a license and tap dance on the stage. I don't want to tap dance either. But I think I'd like to act.
How long will it be till these fit?
Posy examines her ballet shoes. Sylvia Simpson's room. As she finishes, she's struck by framed family photographs on the mantel, which show Mr. Simpson with a handsome, dark-haired woman and young boy who's carrying a model plane. She looks to the side, sees the model plane is on the chest of drawers, then turns to leave. In the changing room at the academy...
Another hole in my elocution drawers.
It's massive.
Right. Today's French acting class is cancelled. Anyone involved in the choral speaking championships, please go and wait in Studio One. Posy Fossil, Madame would like a word. Winifred Bagnall and Pauline Fossil, stay here and speak to me.
You better not be in bother.
Petrova, haven't you got anywhere to go?
No, not now.
Well, dear, wait outside while I have a word with these two.
Yes, Miss J.
Miss J begins brushing Winifred's hair.
There's an audition tomorrow at the Princess Theatre. You are both to be there punctually at noon. And I want you to style your hair like this.
Is it for Alice in Wonderland? Mm. Girls going for Alice always wear a ribbon. Wish it wasn't the Prince's, though. It's such a mean management. One ought to get six, but it's more likely four. They might squeeze five.
Five what? Shillings?
Pounds. Per week. Don't you need any money at home?
You will attend no further classes with your sisters and Miss Dane. You will no longer study tap dancing. You will no longer study character dancing. You will no longer study singing, musical comedy, or mime. In future, you will receive instruction only in classical ballet. And all that instruction will come from me. You are the first child in the history of the Academy to come entirely under my personal supervision. You have the potential to be a truly remarkable dancer.
As remarkable as you?
Oh, my child. Much, much more remarkable than me.
But Sylvia... She needs an attractive frock with a full flared skirt in order to show off her dancing to advantage.
Can't she just wear a practice dress or go in a jersey and skirt?
Oh, darling, are you mad? She has to look quite perfectly turned out, otherwise she simply will not stand a chance.
Pauline, performance comes from within. When I watch you reciting Puck, I don't see Pauline Fossil, schoolgirl. I see a queer, mercurial, woodland creature.
In a jersey and skirt.
Irina, that is unhelpful.
I still don't see what's wrong with cotton.
They're from the summer before last.
She's outgrowing them all.
Round the bust.
Shut up, Posy.
Be quiet, Posy. Less of the bust chat, thank you.
Oh, I'll be quiet, but not until I've said that I think it's very unfair that in the middle of all this fuss about Pauline's frock and Pauline's audition, not one person has said they're pleased about Madame's plans for me.
Outside, Mr. Simpson's polishing his car when Petrova comes out to join him.
A flap on.
She sinks onto the step.
It's a flap about money. And Garni says we shouldn't discuss that sort of thing.
Easily done. And there's plenty about.
Have you ever been poor?
He wipes his hands and sits beside her.
Dreadfully poor.
Have you ever been in a pawn shop?
More than once, by the time I was your age.
There's one just off Earls Court Road. Nana says people borrow money there in exchange for items of value. She said it's a facility for the desperate.
Are you desperate? Things really so bad?
We do have items of value.
What I propose is this. I will personally advance you the sum of £4.10 in exchange for custody of the necklaces, and Garni will not be told of this arrangement.
And if she asks any questions, I should say I've had a windfall.
Excellent. Pauline will then use the advance to purchase an appropriate Mordician frock and will then buy the necklaces back in small instalments, always provided she gets the part. No matter how long the process takes, no interest will be charged.
Wearing a smart dress and with a ribbon in her hair, Pauline arrives at the stage door with Nana. Winifred is on stage.
You can't escape. It's in your memory. Night, morning, night and noon.
Miss J ushers Pauline to join the other girls on stage. Winifred rises up on her points and launches into a dance.
She's very good. She's the best all-round student the Academy's ever had.
Pauline and the dozen or so other girls, all wearing their best frocks and Alice band ribbons in their hair, watch Winifred expertly finish her routine. In the stalls, a man in a suit is making notes. Winifred comes to stand next to Pauline.
Underneath the right arm of my frock. I had to change my position for the attitude at the end.
Little fair girl in black, what's your name?
Pauline Fossil.
Come down to centre stage.
She hesitantly steps forward, then blinks in the spotlight.
Would you like to sing first, or would you like to recite?
I'll recite. Puck. A Midsummer Night's Dream. I am that merry wanderer of the night. I jest to Oberon and make him smile. When I a fat and bean-fed horse beguile, neighing in likeness of a filly foal. Sometimes lurk I in a gossip's bowl, in very likeness of a roasted crab. And when she drinks against her lips, I bob, and on her withered dewlaps pours the ale.
The man, Mr. French, makes a note.
Will all playing cards, dormice, and dancing frog footmen make your way directly to the stage? Any mock turtles, wait in the wings till called.
Well done, both of you. Now, Pauline is to play Alice. And Winifred will be engaged as understudy.
When I finished my dance, people clapped. Nobody clapped her, there was just silence.
Dance is important, but Pauline looks right for Alice.
She looks right for everything. She always will. Pretty face. Blonde hair.
It's got nothing whatsoever to do with talent, and it's so unfair!
Winifred! Winifred! I will not take housekeeping money from you, Pauline. What do the authorities think of me? Making a profit from an orphan. Besides, the law states that a working child must save only one third of her earnings. One third of £4 is 26 shillings and eightpence. Even after 8 shillings has gone to the academy, that would leave £2, 5 shillings and 4 pence for the house. Oh, there's no need to blight me with accountancy. Garnie, we know we're poor.
I don't know how they found out.
This thing at doors, I don't doubt. Naughty, sneaky habits. I'm assuming this is Mr. Simpson's. And if you'll excuse my saying, I think you ought to take what Pauline's offered.
I wanted Pauline to save for the future.
All kinds of things might happen in the future. The professor might come back in the future. Your health might come back on its own in the future. You inherited that chest from your father. Think what happened to him.
Nana catches the girls eavesdropping.
She'll accept 30 shillings a week. Now off upstairs, the lot of you. Or you'll be feeling the back of my hairbrush.
Sylvia. What matters most is the life the girls have now, and it wouldn't amount to much if it didn't have you in it. Now there's money coming in, there's things you can see to. You can go see a specialist for a start.
Petrova. Petrova.
As Petrova stirs, it's tense.
Do you think I can do it?
Do what?
Play Alice. Winifred was better than me in the audition. And it's a massive part.
You can't lose your nerve. We need the money.
Pauline hugs her knees and looks even more troubled. Now on stage, dressed as Alice, Pauline stands in the middle of a circle of dancers. Viewed from above, they tap dance around her like a wheel, then spread out in a fluid formation. They sit down, then open and close their outstretched legs to form a rotating star. With Pauline looking lost in the centre, they speed up, then tap dance away, only to return moments later dressed as playing cards. The cards fall down.
You're nothing but a pack of playing cards!
The curtain sweeps up to rapturous applause and Pauline curtsies. As Sylvia, the lodgers and her sisters all clap and cheer, Pauline grins and curtsies again, enjoying the applause. Later in the dressing room.
Wearing the necklaces, Mr. Simpson brought them down. He didn't want Garnet to be suspicious.
Well done. Very good.
What did you really think?
You're marvellous.
Did you see it in the cat?
Oh, get that on your way out, would you, Winifred?
I'll see to it. Let's button up that cavity.
I see Pauline left her wrap in the wings again. Could you remind her to wear it over her costume at all times unless she's actually on the stage?
Most certainly. She knows the rules. Ahem.
Back at home, Mr. Simpson looks down on Posy, who's fast asleep on the sofa.
She's worn out with all the excitement.
Should we let her sleep?
Sylvia nods and smiles. They both reach for a blanket at the same touch for a fleeting moment. Then he kneels down beside her and very gently removes Posy's hat.
Well done.
complete novice.
They both begin tucking Posy in under the blanket.
What happened to your wife and child?
There was a typhoid epidemic.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to pry.
No. Sometimes feel that I'd like to talk about it. Then I find it's better if I don't.
He stands up.
Good night.
Good night.
In the doctor's rooms.
They've announced a month of extra matinees. And next week, Princess Elizabeth and Princess Margaret Rose are coming.
And will they be calling for tea in your dressing room afterwards?
Oh, I hope not. I'm always so tired after shows. Posy, would you run downstairs and fetch my handkerchief?
No, I will not.
Is something the matter with your arms and legs?
No. I just need to save my strength.
It's going to be awfully difficult when we're all working, isn't it, Petrova?
Yes.
All of us giving out orders at once.
Mm-hmm.
I think you're both being absolutely vile.
Ooh, door slamming, that's a new one.
As Sylvia opens the post, Petrova wanders in.
Wretched bills.
She opens another letter, which she reads through with growing concern. Drinking a glass of water, Petrova watches her rip the letter up, put it in the bin, then leave the kitchen. As soon as she's gone, Petrova retrieves the letter from the bin, pieces it together, then reads it in shock. A taxi pulls up outside for Sylvia.
Harley Street, please.
As she climbs into the car, Petrova stands watching her from an upstairs window. Pauline takes a curtain call.
Again.
Compliment to Mr. French, but would Miss Fossil go back for her wrap? You will keep leaving it in the wings.
Let Winifred get it. It's the least she can do sitting in my dressing room night after night.
If everybody had their rights, young lady, it would be you sitting in Winifred's dressing room night after night.
How can you even say that?
I can say that because...
It's appalling commotion.
As you know, sir, Pauline left her wrap in the wings again. I have reprimanded her, but she will not fetch it.
Fetch it yourselves if you want it fetched.
Pauline!
That is enough. Rules are not made for little girls to break. What's your name again, Winifred?
Winifred Bagnall, sir. I'm Pauline's understudy.
Yes. Well, I think it's high time your positions were reversed. From tomorrow, Winifred will play the part of Alice.
Later, Pauline's running a bath at home.
Pauline, will you please tell me what's happened?
Don't you just mind your own business?
Garney's been to see a specialist. He asked to see her again. I found a letter all about it. I know we shouldn't snoop, but they never tell us anything. It said she's got inflammation of the lungs, that she should move to a milder climate. But you're working now, and the extra matinees are just about to start. We could send her to Bournemouth or Brighton. Can't we?
I was so selfish. What I could think about was proving myself.
Making everyone see that I was talented.
But you are talented.
I have to be. You have to be. Posy has to be.
Posy is.
Don't you ever worry that all three of us has is each other. What we are, what we can do. Our talents.
No.
Don't you think it's true?
I don't think it's true.
Wearing a tutu, Posy is dancing alone for Madame. She arches her arms above her head, then gracefully extends them, before sweeping them backwards and holding the pose. Madame takes one of her arms to support her as she sinks down into an arabesque.
Upon one, child, when the right leg is extended behind, the left shoulder must move back.
Posy rises up on her points and performs a series of small steps. Caught in the moment, Madame mimics Posy's fluid movements as Posy raises her arms and sways from side to side.
Reach, child. Reach.
A lone biplane flies through a summery sky. Petrova's watching it through binoculars. Now, the three sisters are sitting on a swing with their hands resting one on top of the other.
We three fossils vows put our names in the history books because it is uniquely ours and ours alone. And no one can say it's because of our grandfathers. We also vow to earn some money to help Garni and support ourselves until Gum comes home. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We aren't in church.
We do the vow every birthday and every Christmas, and we've never said Amen ever.
I haven't had any work since Alice. We need help, and I don't care where it comes from.
Well, it looks like Amen, then.
Amen.
Yes, Amen.
Come on,
they run off through the park holding hands. The doctors are playing cricket. Mr. Simpson reveals a shop-bought birthday cake.
Give us another shot.
She'll be thrilled. But you've already given her a sovereign, and I could have made a cake myself.
You do more than enough already.
He puts candles around the cake.
How old would he be now, your son?
You're getting on for 11.
Come on, birthday girl.
Miss Dean comes sprinting towards them.
Oh, Sylvia, thank Lord I found you. There's an audition with Simon Eighth Street in West End, directed by Sir Donald Horton. They want to see Pauline and Petrova tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock.
Shakespeare?
Oh, dear. Petrova and the iambic pentameter are not soulmates.
It's no good. Won't fit either of you. You've gone the same way as your sister.
Round the you-know-what.
That's enough from you. Your turn will come.
We need a new dress, each. It'll look good if we're dressed the same. And Nana can make them both.
Oh, out of what, might I ask? Scotch mist?
There's no money, Pauline.
How much does a piece of material cost?
More than we've got, that's how much.
Then we just can't go.
We have to go. We have to get these jobs.
I suppose there's always my birthday sovereign.
Nana leads Pauline in Petrova's stage. Petrova's clutching her eye.
We needn't have bothered. I look awful anyway.
So at least die. When we take the patch off, the borax will have worked. There won't even be a suggestion of a swelling.
Little dark girl with the red eye. What's your name?
Petrova Fossil.
What part have you come to try for?
Mustard seed.
Pauline sees Mr. French having a quiet word with the director.
Come down to the front of the stage, please.
Petrova stumbles when she steps forward.
Whenever you're ready.
Do you want me to sing or recite?
There's no need to sing. This isn't a musical.
Henry V, Act 3, Scene 2, The Boy.
Oh, isn't that prose?
Yes.
Very well. Go on.
She forgets her opening line and Pauline has to prompt her.
As young as I am.
As young as I am, I have observed these three swashers. I am but boy to them, all three.
Thank you. That's enough.
No. Please, you must let her finish.
I said that's enough because I had heard enough. She has got the part. Well, this is a decent accident. We must cast these parts today. And there are no other candidates for mustard seed.
No, sir. Pauline.
Mr. French.
I take it she's your sister?
Yes.
Well, we won't bother hearing you. You can both go. You're hired. I'll run along and fetch your coats before I change my mind.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We got them.
Am I too late? We've been to Eastbourne to Father's sanatorium. I didn't get the message till today. I was being seen for mustard seed.
They cast me. They thought nobody else was coming. You could try for the Ballet of the Fairies after lunch.
I won't get into a ballet of goblins looking the way I do today. Well, my dress has gone underneath the other arm.
You can borrow my frock or Pauline's, can't she?
The trouble with you, Petrova, is that you're a martyr to your conscience. The
trouble with you is that you haven't got one.
Look, this is Winifred in the Ballet of the Fairies. I'm the best all-round student this academy has ever had. Even though I've got a frankly enormous bottom, I'm going to spend most of Act 2 behind a tree.
Percy Fossil, you are a heartless monster.
You noticed.
I brought you up. I notice everything.
Right, we'll start with Q19A, which is Oberon's line. I am invisible, and I will overhear their conference.
In fairy costumes, Pauline and Petrova swept up into the air on wires.
Pauline!
Bravo!
Do you still hate the idea of what? Well, I always wanted to fly.
And I will purge thy mortal grossness so that thou shalt like an airy spirit go. Peas blossom, cobweb, moth, and mustard seed.
Ready.
And I. And I.
Last in line, Petrova glides down a little less.
And I.
Give me the line again.
And I.
Again.
And I?
Oh, please. Am I asking for the moon? All I want you to give me are two sharp, clearly differentiated notes. As soon as you would care to do so.
Petrova collects herself.
And I.
This is not the moment to be funny. I'm afraid I have no further time to waste on you. If your work does not improve, I shall take the part away.
Sylvia arrives at the theatre and finds Pauline comforting Petrova on the stairs.
Getting so upset about.
Yes, there is. You're ill. You need a rest and a holiday and...
She pauses as a woman in costume steps between them.
You need a rest and a holiday and you can't have one if I get the sack.
Where on earth you got such a silly idea? I can assure you, Petrova Fossil, that there is nothing whatever the matter with my health. Do you hear me? I'm not having you upset like this. I'm going to Sir Donald. I'm giving in your notice.
No!
Don't.
I just feel so stupid when I'm on the stage.
What do you mean you feel stupid?
I mean, I feel like myself.
Sylvia wraps her arm around her.
We have to help her.
So now I actually have to be in character all the time. Meals and lessons.
And everything. There's a hole in the exhaust.
Petrova's wearing her mustard seed costume.
The wardrobe mistress would kill me if I get oil on this.
Has it helped, though?
Well, I don't feel human anymore.
I don't know how you stand it.
I stand it because we're saving up. Garnie isn't well. She's got trouble with her lungs. Paulin and I want her to have a holiday. She likes hotels with tea and orchestras, but we'll doubtless have to settle for 2 weeks in a tent.
You're a very generous girl, Petrova.
Mustard seed. You're supposed to call me mustard seed.
So when do you open? Mustard seed.
Tuesday. Still, at least it'll all be over by Christmas.
Theatre-goers gather under the bright, twinkling lights of the Conquistadors Theatre and A Midsummer Night's Dream. Spinning posters read, Run Extended Until April, Full House, A Triumph. While Petrova stands looking a little subdued, Polly positively basks in the applause. After the final performance, Petrova climbs into bed next to Polly.
God, that's over. I settled on staying Richard III next. He hasn't cast the prince in the Tower yet. Do you think I should write him and ask him to audition us? Don't even think of doing that to me. I wouldn't be doing anything to you. We'd both be doing something for poor Garnie. This is nothing to do with Garnie. We've got enough money for a holiday. This is all about you. You and your acting. Do you think you're the only one that knows their heart's desire? You're going to have to forget your heart's desire. There aren't any 14-year-old aviators. Pauline, you can make me sing. And you can make me dance. You can shove me out onto a stage and not care that I'm useless and I'm hating it inside. I put up with it because we have to earn our living. But if you keep pushing me, then I will break.
She lies down and turns her back on Pauline, who settles down with tears in her eyes.
Theo? Is everything all right?
Just a minute!
Nana can smell something strange.
Oh, must be my new perfume, Côté Chiffre. Isn't it divine?
No, it's another stench entirely. Something more like scorching dog.
Oh, I'm sorry. Me. I've been giving myself a permanent wave.
Nana, fetch soft soap and the brandy from the medicine chest.
It's stopped breaking off now. It's just a bit short.
Theo Dane touches her hair.
Anyway, for trying to turn the clock back.
Why do you want to turn the clock back?
Got to the point where chaps had just stopped looking. You know what it's like. One enters a room and makes no more impression than a draft.
I suppose so.
It was all so different when I was young. I mean, there weren't many men because of the beastly war. Some of them actually had bits missing. Those that were intact were often rather mad. But they would wait for one at the stage door, or ask one out for drinks. And when one appeared, there'd be such a lightening of their faces as though they felt this surge of possibility. And I used to feel it too.
Don't you anymore?
Theo shakes her head.
I'd start telling myself that there was no shame in being an old maid.
She kisses Sylvia on the cheek.
Anyway, the other day, I had the first tiny flicker of hope in an age, and next thing I knew, I was in the chemist with my hand around a bottle of Emperor's Waving Compound.
Where did it come from?
It's imported from New York.
No, I meant the hope.
Oh. It's a chap. I've known him for ages. He's awfully quiet, but he has the most speaking eyes, and he just looked at me and I had this sense that maybe he was going to ask me something.
Good luck.
A newsreel.
Record-breaking aviatrix Amy Johnson finally touched down on British soil this week after her triumphant flight from Cape Town in South Africa. With clouds and wind added to the danger of the journey, Amy has proven once again that by sheer skill and determination, there's no difficulty that can't be overcome.
Trevor, what do you think of Theo?
Theo Dane?
Yeah. Would you say she's a nice sort of person? Is she kind?
Well, she wears a lot of perfume. Goatee sheep, it rubs off on everything.
I could probably bear that.
Well, goodbye, Amy. The very best of luck.
Thanks very much. I sincerely hope I shall do.
On a summer's day, the girls are playing, wearing feather headdresses. Mr. Simpson approaches the camp.
I parked in the lane. Awfully sorry to surprise you, but there's news from London. It's all right. It's good news.
I can't believe I'm going for a screen test. I don't know anything about Charles II's sister, Henrietta. I don't even know what she looks like.
Well, let's just hope she had a pimple on her nose.
Rat. Come on now, take the dishes down to the water and get them swirled.
The girls run off barefoot through the woods with the dirty dishes, leaving Mr. Simpson and Sylvia by the campfire.
Bags are dry.
You're always dry, that's the easy bit. I don't like
it. May I smoke?
Of course.
She looks at him shyly.
Mr. Simpson, would you mind awfully if I had one?
Sorry, didn't know you indulged.
Oh, I don't.
At least I never have before. I suppose with the girls and everything, I don't really get to go to places where I would.
Thank you. Nana did wonder if I ought to have the odd one. She thinks that it helps to break up chest congestion. But honestly, the thought of sitting alone in the kitchen in the dark, dragging away on my solitary fag, made such a tragic picture I simply couldn't bear to.
He watches her thoughtfully as she takes a puff.
Oh, Lord, I do feel ill. Quick, take it away before the girls get back. What time do we need to leave tomorrow?
9 should do it. We'll be at Shepperton by noon.
We could perhaps have tea out afterwards, on the way back to London.
I'm afraid I must be home by 4. I have an appointment with Theo.
Oh. Oh, we can't let you be late.
Fossil, screen test, Mr. Shulsky.
So, Pauline Fossil, how old are you?
I'm nearly 16.
Do you want to be in movies?
I don't know. I don't know much about them.
But you want to be an actress?
No, I need to be an actress.
Hold it.
Mr. Shulsky freezes the frame on her face and studies it closely. Back at home, Sylvia finds Petrova at Theo's door with a tea tray.
Theo just asked for tea in her room for her and Mr. Simpson.
Just leave it outside!
There you are.
You've ironed
this.
Looking taken aback, Sylvia puts down the laundry and answers the phone.
Earl's Court, 428.
That's simply wonderful. Oh, I'm sorry. I said that's wonderful news.
Don't move, Pauline. Stitch your marks. Mark it. Okay, people, we are going again. Clear the set, please.
Sound of
speed. Clear the set. And...
Scene 84, take one.
Action.
Write to me while I am gone.
I will try.
not I will try, but I will.
I will.
Cut. Cut. You what, Pauline? Bake him a cake? Knit him a sweater? Look, your brother here is asking for an emotional lifeline, okay? It's great. Fantastic deal. Can we take it again?
Scene 84, take two.
Not I will try, but I will.
I will.
Cut. Cut.
Take three.
I will.
Cut!
Can we talk? Excuse me. You've got 10 days on this picture. This is your seventh. And you've yet to show me that you're not made of wood.
We do so many takes, I can't concentrate. I can build myself up to the theatre. I can be a character.
Honey, this is motion pictures now, okay? Look, you've got everything to learn, and that's fine, but you've got to give me something
real.
What's real to you, Pauline? What matters most to you in the world?
Acting.
If that is a truthful answer, there's no hope for you.
Scene 84, take four.
Write to me while I'm gone.
I will try.
Not I will try, but I will.
I will.
Cut. Print.
Fantastic. You did it.
I just thought about my sisters. Awful it must be to live your life alone.
That was wonderful. Okay, let's move on.
Sylvia quietly enters Mr. Simpson's room with a pile of fresh laundry. After putting a clean ashtray on the mantelpiece, she puts down the laundry and smooths the duvet. She picks up his jacket so she can plump up the cushions on the sofa. She listens to the music and laughter drifting up from downstairs, then lifts the jacket to her nose and inhales its scent. She closes her eyes, then her face crumples, and she sits down on the verge of... The door opens and Nana comes in.
Goaty sheep.
Sylvia quickly stands up, turns her back, then folds up the jacket. Nana gives her a handkerchief.
Come on.
Wiping her nose, Sylvia turns and sits down again. As Nana looks at her with compassion, she lifts up her tearful eyes.
Have you never wanted anything? Well, when the war broke out, I thought I'd like to drive an ambulance. But, of course, I didn't do anything about it. Had you?
Madame, please may I change my shoes before we start my own chenille? These were my mother's. They fit me now.
Madame inspects a shoe.
Small bones, high arches. Like you.
She was just like me. She loved ballet more than anything. I know that because it was a thing she chose.
Posey's feet in her practice pumps transform into her feet in her mother's beautiful pink satin ballet shoes. On points, she stretches up, twirling her hands, turns, then leaps through the air. She tiptoes across the wooden floor, then sweeps out her arm in a graceful curve.
One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, and second. One, two, three. Energy Petrova, energy board dances are boring. Arabesque. One, two, three, four, five, six.
A poster for Cinderella.
Number three for you, Pauline. You're in with Dandini.
Can't I share with Petrova?
She's on the fourth floor. with the others in the chorus.
Coffee pot. Number three was down back that way, wasn't it?
Trudging through the backstage dressing area, Petrova bumps into Winifred on the stairs.
Soon a gown of shimmering tulle and cape of silk we will unspool.
Hollywood never called for Pauline then. The film isn't out yet, Winifred.
A pumpkin coach we will create.
As Hollywood calls for you. It's not all gloom. I've got an audition for the Ovaltinis on the radio.
But first, to show what magic means, I call upon the jumping beans.
Winifred, Petrova and the other beans tap onto the stage in pod costumes and with their faces painted green.
A king in exile, world premiere.
Cue for gigantic panic over frocks.
Hey, what do you think of that? Beautiful. What can you see Pauline in, John?
That shiny stuff that rustles. Taffeta?
Too old for a party dress.
I see her in powder blue velvet.
With a lace bolero.
Lace bolero, she'd catch a death.
Beautiful.
My rival shoot you a mink.
I shall be meeting a new dress very soon.
For?
The Marlborough Ballet is coming to London for the first time ever from Prague, and Madame Fidoli is taking me to see it.
Don't you need something new for that?
She's booked us a box and a smoked salmon supper.
Coughing, Sylvia excuses herself from the table. Petrova notices. Later, Sylvia's decorating the Christmas tree when Petrova comes down wrapped in her bedspread.
I couldn't sleep. Thought it would be a nice surprise. Lovely Christmases in this house. It was even Christmas when you came to us. I think about it every time it snows.
Why can't you sleep? Is it your cough?
Not really. Can you keep a secret?
What about Pauline's wages from the film and the money we're getting from Cinderella?
This house eats money.
Even with the boarders.
And so, I'm selling it.
No.
We'll soon be living in a nice flat with Nana. There'll be no need for Clara. And the boarders will disperse.
But you can't do that. You can't. The house belongs to Gum.
He's been gone for 12 years, Petrova. I spoke to the solicitors, and they've declared him dead.
She strokes Petrova's cheek, but Petrova flinches, then runs upstairs.
Remember, Posy, when Valentin Manov got his dancers out of Russia, he rescued not just the company, but a system of training 200 years old. I've brought you here to show you what you might achieve. If you are strong enough. If you have the courage and the will.
Posy's eyes widen as she looks down from the theatre box.
Stand still. Oh, darling. You look grown up.
The first and last time I copy anything from Vogue.
No one made you do it! Pauline! Why don't you make me go in a jersey and skirt?
Wearing a new blue gown, Pauline flings herself on her bed, upset.
You feel a complete fraud, Petrova. I'm terrible in that film. Tomorrow night, my face is going to be blown up as big as a house. Everyone's going to find me out.
At the theatre, the performance of Swan Lake has begun. Resting on her hands on the edge of the box, Posy watches, enchanted, as the prima ballerina, in white tutu and gleaming ballet shoes, dances gracefully on points.
I will dance like that, madame. I don't care how long the training takes. Madame? Madame?
Madame slumped in her chair. At the house.
Posy? Posy, is that you? What's happened?
Madame's had a stroke.
A stroke?
They took her to the hospital and she can't move her arm or leg.
Oh, no. Madame.
Your leg. I'm not crying about Madame, I'm crying about me. Training can't be broken up now!
You are a selfish and cold-hearted little madam. We did not bring you up to conduct yourself like this.
Nana is right. Your behaviour is disgraceful.
She's ambitious, that's all.
Once upon a time, I thought ambition was a good thing. I thought it would help you to apply yourselves and help you make the most of your small chances. But if it kills off everything that's nice in you, then I am not going to have ambition in this house.
Meaning what?
Meaning that I will no longer sanction any of you working on the stage.
You can't do that!
Oh, yes, I can. I'm your legal guardian. We will never be rich. But now the house is sold, there's no more need for you to work or train.
You can't stop me. You can't stop me from doing anything.
You can stop me from going to Pauline's premiere. You can stay at home tonight, alone.
With bursts of camera flashbulbs, Pauline and the others arrive at a West End theatre for the premiere, dressed in their finest clothes. As they make their way down the stairs, they pass a glamorous blonde starlet in a gold halter neck dress, posing for the photographers. Pauline stops for a moment and watches her, transfixed, before moving on. Now seated, Mr. Simpson leans forward to Pauline.
Good luck.
She smiles nervously.
Your name is really small, Pauline. Almost as small as the author's. Maybe no one will realise you're in it.
As Pauline grips Petrova's hand, the lights go down. Afterwards...
You were fantastic!
Pauline's surrounded by autograph hunters.
I wish I was you.
She was good, Nana. She was wonderful.
Is she with you?
Who?
Miss Posy. I went to check on her and she's not there.
Little maid, she'll be hiding somewhere.
The next day...
It's the thought of her alone out there. How cold she must be. How afraid.
Posy's not afraid of anything. That's what frightens me.
Posy awakes in a doorway surrounded by boxes of vegetables and her mother's ballet shoes. She stands up, drapes her coat over her arm, then picks up her suitcase and sets off. She pauses outside the white-pillared entrance of the Royal Opera House, then goes inside. Soon after, having changed into her tutu, she sits on the stairs to tie the ribbons of her mother's ballet shoes before climbing up the grand staircase. At the top, a class is taking place. Posy watches the elegant older ballerinas with wonder. She swallows hard, then tiptoes forward and joins in with the class, going through the exercises on points with ease. One, Posy finds herself facing the wrong way. Utterly caught out, she stands rooted to the spot. The teacher points at her.
Atisto.
At home, everyone rushes to the door.
Miss Brown?
No. This is Miss Brown.
Good morning. David Montague. I'm the London representative of United Artists Studios.
So you don't speak Russian?
I dance Russian.
Она танцует как русская.
And who did you learn that from?
Mikhail Fokin? Agrippina Vaganova?
No. Evgenia Fedolia.
I see.
Do you? You won't see anything at all until you've watched me dance.
With a snap of his fingers, the other dancers disperse, leaving Posy alone in the middle of the room.
No sign of her.
Petrova shakes her head.
I've been offered a contract by United Artists.
In Hollywood? You ought to be smiling.
I'd have to go for 5 years. That's 5 years without theatre and not learning all the things I wanted to know.
Hello?
Posy! Where have you been?
With Valentin Minov. He's offered to train with his ballet school.
What?
I made him watch me dance and then he said, come to my academy in Prague and I shall make you into a ballerina. So I said my guardian would make the arrangements and I came straight home.
You can't go to Czechoslovakia, Posy. There's no money.
My mother gave me away because there was no money. At least your parents drowned and they had the kindness to put you on a lifebelt. I didn't get a lifebelt. Only a pair of ballet shoes.
Garni, is Mr. Montague still upstairs?
He's packing up his bag. I said you needed time to think.
I don't. Not anymore. I'll sign.
Sign what?
Something that means you can study with Manoff. And Garni can go to California where the climate's mild and get her health back.
Pauline.
I can't live in Hollywood on my own. And Nana must go to Prague with Posy. The way she's going to get completely out of hand. Where will I go?
Excuse me!
Gum limps in.
Who sold my house? Huh?
Are you Gum?
Well, of course I'm bloody Gum. Who else would I be? What I want to know is this. Who are all these women?
Pauline. Petrova.
Posy.
I brought entrancements home. I brought babies.
Babies grow up, Gum.
Yes, I can see that. So, a film star and a ballet dancer. Well, that's you and your chaperone sorted.
I never thought I'd be going to live abroad.
Abroad, we'll get used to it. So that just leaves you and me to organise. Now, what would you like to do?
She wants to be like Amy Johnson.
Oh, Amy Johnson, I know her.
How?
Well, I ran into her in the Argentine. She taught me how to fly. She's quite good, actually. Well, we better get you some lessons then, haven't we?
Oh, God.
Teetering in her heels, Theo lifts her boxes into the back of an already packed taxi. Inside, Mr. Simpson puts his keys on the piano in front of Sylvia.
Mixed feelings? Theo? Theo. I need to ask you something. Can I borrow your gramophone?
Masking her disappointment, she hands a nod, then he carries it back inside to Sylvia.
Theo's been giving me lessons. I wanted to take you out to a hotel. I wanted to dance with you, to tell you things. And I didn't know how. I thought this song, it might tell you things.
The very thought of you. She smiles.
And I forget to do those little ordinary things.
He offers her his hand, and she takes it.
I'm living in a kind of daydream.
They step up close, then slowly start to dance.
And foolish though it may seem, to me that's everything.
A smile lights up her face.
This was the first room I ever walked into in this house.
You'll never
it was full
know
of stone feathers.
How
the ghosts of things.
Go till I'm near to you.
Not anymore.
I see your face in every flower.
It's full of things
your
we made.
Eyes in stars above.
He presses his cheek to hers, and she closes her eyes, then smiles tearfully.
My love.
Mr. Montague finds Theo smoking on the stairs.
Hello.
Miss Brown is otherwise engaged.
I haven't come to see Miss Brown. I've come to see you. You don't remember me, do you? Little Theodora, star of Miss Rosebud's Bouncing Babes. We used to meet at the stage door every night for weeks.
During the war?
I knew you at once, even without your bandages. Do you know who I am without mine?
We too, fossils vow. Since as an actress and a dancer, it is unlikely we'll ever get our names in the history books, to do everything we can to get our sister's name, Petrova, there instead.
Because she is ours, and ours alone. And when she finds the roads in the sky, no one can ever say it's because of her grandfathers.
We vow.
We vow. We vow.
The girls turn in a circle.
Amen.
On Sylvia and Mr. Simpson's wedding day, they kiss and are showered with rose petals.
This is the very ecstasy.
Petrova waves with gum from a biplane as they circle in the sky.